Okay, so with today's Daf Chav Ted, we're in the beginning of a new parak, Elu Na'arot. Let me talk a little about Hakdama for Elu Na'arot, and then we'll hopefully be okay. So first, if you have a chumash, I left some chumashim out. It helps to have a chumash. There's a chumash here, and there's a chumash here. Maybe take one chumash, give it to Eddie, and take one chumash for yourself, okay? Or actually, one chumash was for Sal. Okay, thank you. So page in the art scroll, page 1052. So the parak talks about Ones and Mefata. Ones is the rapist, and Mefata is the seducer. So let's look at first the Ones. The Ones is Perachav Ched, Pasuk Chav Ched, page 1052, four lines from the bottom. It says, Kim Sayish Na'ara Betula Shalo Orasa, then encounters a Na'ara. Na'ara is a term of art. It means between 12 and 12 and a half. And she's Betula, and she's, you know, a virgin. Shalo Orasa, and never went through Erusin, which was Sabash Chavima, and he grabs her, and he has relations with her, but Sa'u, and they're discovered. He says, so the wrongdoer has to pay chamishim kasef. So it's going to come out to be 50 shkalim, which will be 200 dinarim. Below tiyali isha, then he has to offer to marry her. Now he has other damages he has to pay as well, and we'll address those shortly. That's one din. Then there's another din, and that's we have to see the mafata. The Mefata is in Parshat Mishpatim, also Perachav Beis. If you turn in the R scroll on page 428, it says, V'chi Yafata Ish Betula.
What pasuk?
Perachav Beis, Pasuk Tedvav, verse 15. V'chi Yafata Ish Betula, Shalom Rasa V'shachavima. The man seduces a young virgin that's also in the word, and he's intimate with her. Mohori Maren Aloli Isha. He should marry her. So here, he only has to pay if he doesn't get married to her. In other words, the ones pays regardless. The mefata only pays if he doesn't marry her. If he marries her, then he doesn't owe the money. And it doesn't say how much money, but the Gemara is going to learn from Xavier Shava, it's the same amount of Hamishim Pesa. Okay, let's just do a few more things here, and then we'll be in good shape. Now, look quickly, there's a Mishnah coming up on Daf Lamed Tet. So look at Lamed Tet, Amanal 39a quickly. It says, page 77. If a man seduces a woman, he's fired for three elements of damage. The person who is rapist has four elements. So we know from Baba Kama, right, there's Nezikzar, Ripui, Shevet, and Boshet. There are five elements in damage. So he's not going to be chayav in all five elements. He's only chayav for Boshet or Pagam. Pagam is the same as Nezek, but here it's called Pagam, like he's, you know, created like a fault in her because she was a Batula before. So Boshet, the embarrassment, he seduced her, embarrassment, Pagam. And then he also has the Knas. The Knas is the fine that we just spoke about. So the only thing he has is really Boshet and Nezek. But Sa'ar, nothing. Ripui, also nothing. There's no Ripui. And Shevet, unemployment, nothing with that. Then the Mishnah says, most people have Ones. The Ones, the rapist, has more in addition to that. Shnotein at a Tsar. He has to pay for Tsar. The other one was consensual. And then the Gemara has other Chilukim. I don't think I'm going to go through all the Chilukim between both of them. Or let me do. He says here.
No Ripui for the Ones?
No, nobody gets Ripui. He says the Ripu is not shy. He says, Mabin Onus and Mafata, Ones no tin and Tsar, Mafata in Onatin and Tsar, Ones is type for Tsar, like the pain, Mafata Nar, but Ones no tin miyad, the Ones pays the money up front, the Knas he pays up front. But Mafata, Shiotzi, and the Gemara is going to explain that argument, this Gemara later on, that Mafata only pays if he doesn't marry her. But Ones Shoteba Atsito, the Ones drinks from his own cup, meaning wherever she is, he's got to marry her or offer to marry her. So whatever she is, she is. And he says, Mefata, if he doesn't want to marry her, he doesn't have to marry her. And if he does marry her, he's a divorcer. The other one is Luchal Shalfak Koyamad. He says, so what does it mean he drinks from his own cup? He says, Afilu hi chigere, even if she's lame. Afilu hi sumik, she's blind. Afilu hi mukachin, she's got mukachin, you know, something wrong with the skin. Nimsa Badabar, that he's in with her. Nimsa Badabar Erva, but if like there's something wrong in the sexual realm with her, or she's not really to be part of the Kahal, let's see, like she's the mom's there, or in Rashu Lakaima, he says, Shinema Lotelisha, Isha Ruyulo, then he obviously doesn't have to marry her. Okay, that's one thing. Now, the big issue is going to be in this parak is the four words, Kimlei Bedrabamine. That's the key element with Kimlei Bedrabamine. So the Mishnah learns later on in Daf Lamed Vav. You look at Lamed Vav and Beis. So the Mishnah says, one second. Yeah, at the end of the Mishnah where the small hay is on Lamed Vav and Beis, page 72. He says, Abal Bito, Bilba Bito, Babino, he's a granddaughter, things like that. In Lam Knas, Manishman Chai Benafsho. In other words, if he does a capital crime, he's not Chai for the Knas. In other words, if they're going to execute him, he's not Chai for the Knas. He says, Manishman Chai Benafsho, Shemitan Bide Beitin. Chomen Chai Benafsho, Amishalim Bamamon. If a person is Mechai Benafsho, he doesn't pay money. In other words, or theoretically, he could be, you know, Mechai Benafsho. Then the money is, you know, eliminated. So it says, if two men have a fight and one of them strikes a pregnant woman, so in Lo Yason, there were no fatalities, so he gets punished monetarily. But if there was a fatality, he wouldn't because he'd be chayav for the fatality. Now, that's Kimlei B'Drabamine with it. Now, the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to have Reb Nechuni ben Akana. He holds that even a chiv karet is enough to expunge you from the chiv mamon. And then this Gemara later on is going to learn that even a chiv malkot would be enough. And then those are the Rashi Pratkin with this. Okay, let's get into the Mishnah now, and then we'll see. Then I'll pause after the Mishnah. Okay, so look at Chav Tanim and Aleph Mishnah. So the Mishnah is taking an irregular case. It's teaching me that there are women that are not eligible for marriage. He's raping a woman, and these are women that he cannot marry. And again, in Chumash, we just did the Pesukim. So it says by the Ones, it says, "V'lo tiel isha tachinishin l'sherina lo yuchal shalchak v'yamav." He has to offer to marry her. Obviously, she doesn't want to be married. She then is out the trick, out the door. But that's it. And again, according to the Tan of our Mishnah, the din of the ones with the Kamishim Kesef is only if she's a Nara. Nara is between age 12 to 12 and a half. That's the limited thing. Nobody else is Chayav Knas, according to the, we'll see the Tamim or Mechulik with this, but it's just Dafka Nara. So on Chavtav Nalav, so Elu Narot Shishnam Knas, the following Na'arot, you know, are substitute Knas. It means, notwithstanding the fact they're Psulot. Habal HaMamzeret. Let's say a man rapes a Mamzeret. So he's not going to offer to marry her because she's Sulikal. Nevertheless, she gets the knas, and she'll get the other elements of damage that we read before as well. Yal Hanatina, the Tina are the Givonim. So the Givonim, if you remember, were people who came in time of Yoshua, and they pretended to come from a distant land, and they made a bris with Yoshua. And then Yoshua didn't want to breach it because it would be B'chil Hashem. So he gave them, by name Yoshua, he made them, you know, hewers of wood and drawers of water. And it was like Abdus. No, it's Yoshua. Yoshua did that. Yoshua. When Chazal teaches, you bring this memory of Chazal, it says that the Givonim came in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Is that what you're thinking of? So it's what? Where did you read this one? No. In other words, it says in the parsha later on, it says in Nitzavim, Mechotei Beit Secha and Shoev Mecha. So Chazal teaches us that the Givonim had also come in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and apparently he set them in Chot Vayetzim and Shor B'mayim as well. But then they came again in the time of Yeshua, he made this whole bris with them. And then, if you remember, we learned in Masechet Yevamot, remember we learned that there was 3 years of famine in the time of David HaMelech, and then David HaMelech asked for the Urim and Tumim. And then the answer is, Al-Sha'ul b'yal b'yad adamim, al-shari'mid b'givonim. It's because of Sha'ul and b'yad adamim that he killed the givonim. So Chazal teaches us two different aveirot. One was that Sha'ul wasn't nispad kalacha, he wasn't given proper hesped. And then the givonim, he deprived them of a livelihood. So it's like he killed them. So then David Melech summons the Gibonim. He says, "What do you want?" He says, "We want blood, and then we want to kill certain members of Shaul's family." So the Navi says, "Gibonim lo b'nei Yisrael hamas." Gibonim were not part of the Jewish people, in other words, because they're not like Rachmanim and exhibiting that midas. So then David Melech made a further gzera. So one way to understand it is that Yeshua said, when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, so they'll have it in that they are psulikal. And then David made it that even when there's no Beis Hamikdash, it should be that way. That's one way to understand it. We'll get into this in a little bit, okay? So let's look and look. So he says, and look at Rashi, Natina, the third narrow line of Rashi, Natina, mina gabonim, he has through the kahal, that's Yisrei kahal, the David gazar lehem, to bring the bamot, he has shame, by name Yoshua, chotva yetzim, shor v'mayim, the government, they call Natinim, because it says, v'kari lehu Natinim, by name, Yoshua set them to serve in that way. Now, Tosfos doesn't agree with this, and maybe we'll do a little more in the Tosfos. Tosfos says, if you look in the third wide line in Tosfos, Elunava, the third wide line downstairs, he says, Benir the Rabbeinu Tam, the Natina Asura Doraita. He holds that, in other words, Rashi seems to say it's a Din Drabanan. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's Asura Doraita, Mishum Lotit Chatein, because there's a prohibition against marrying with them. So hold on, let me finish the Mishnah, and we'll come back to this as well. Bial Hakutit also is not so simple. With the Kutit, this is very tricky. So the Kutim we know are these non-Jewish people that the king of Ashur brought to Eretz Israel, and then they were being attacked by lions, and then they converted to Judaism. So there's machloket in the Gemara with their Geri Arayot or Geri Emes. So in other words, the Geri Arayot were insincere converts. It says that they were worshiping the Avodah Zarah and worshiping Hashem. In other words, they were doing a little bit of Judaism, a little bit of the Avodah Zarah. But then another opinion holds, yeah, initially they were doing that, but eventually they became Geri Emes, true Gerim. So here it's saying that the Kutit, if he rapes a Kutit, so he's still Chayav a Knas. So if you look at Rashi says the sixth narrow line, Kutit, Ksavar Geri Arayot Hain, V'yeshtam B'lav L'techamim Bam. The Talmud Mishnah holds the Geri Emes Arayot. But Tosfos says, if you look at the big fat Tosfos B'yal Kutit, Tosfos says, that he quotes Rashi, but he doesn't think that's right, because if it's true, one second. Yeah, so in other words, if that's the way it is, then they're goyim, the way Rashi has. They're not even Jews, and there's no din and knas by the goyim. So Tosfos ends up saying that it's talking about that he holds that they were Geri Emes, that they're true Gerim. And he's teaching me that was saying that there's true Gerim, I would have thought that we should be marking them somewhat, but notwithstanding that, they are still Chayav Knas if you have it with the Kuti. And then let's see back in the Mishnah. Habala Giyoret is a different category of cases. If a man rapes a Giyoret, a convert, or a woman who is, in other words, you have to be Betula, you got to be a Nara. So Nara we got, but let's say she's a Giyoret. There's a presumption at law, at halacha, that she's not a betula anymore. But she's a giyoret. There's a presumption at law that she's not a betula anymore. She was a shvuyah. She was a captive woman. Or she was a shifka kanadi, the same thing. It's interesting, he flips around the verbs. In other words, the giyoret is nagayru. The shvuyah is shenishtakru. And the shifa is the shvuyah shenifta, the shvuyah shenifta, and the shnishtakru is the shifa. But in other words, the verbs aren't in the same order as the nouns. Anyway, but the thing is that they were freed. Who taught me? But in other words, if they were freed below the age of 3 years and 1 day, or they were redeemed. In other words, they were youngsters when they converted. Youngsters when they were freed from captivity. Youngsters when they were emancipated from slavery. Then he's chayev for it. And Rashi takes it. Let's look at Rashi. He says, she's really shenifte pakutibashal shanim the becheska betulahi, that she's presumably a betula. Shafila nivala beshivya betula chosr. The Gemara takes it that even if she would be nivala, if it's below the age of 3, the betula chosr. Okay, now, let me just do the last piece. Then we'll talk a little bit, and then we'll pause, okay? Well, yeah, whatever happened, the captivity, which is the kidnap? The shvuyah. Yeah, right, could be right. They're taken captive, right, below the age of 3. Then Habala Choto. Now, these are going to be situations, in other words, the Tana takes it, if it's a Chiv Misa, there won't be a Chiv Knas, could Kim leave the Rabbi name. But the Tana takes it, if it's a Chiv Karet, then it will be a Chiv Knas. So these are going to be situations, even though they're a Chiv Karet, there still will be a Chiv Knas, according to this Tana, which we're going to find out as Rav Meir. Habala Achoto, if man has relations with his sister, it means he rapes her. Milachot Aviv, or is, and each one is not married. Because they're married, then it's a capital case. Right. So Milachot Aviv is aunt on the father, Milachot Imo, aunt on the mother's side. Again, they're not married. Milachot Ishto, his wife's sister, and it can even be that he divorced the wife, but you're not allowed, there's an Easter to be with the sister. Bial Eishet Achiv. Now, Eishet Achiv, you have to say that the brother did Erusin with her, never had relations with her, and then divorced her, or died. And then he rapes her. He says, and again, where there's no mitzvah yibum, obviously, it's like that. He says, V'al Eishet Achi Aviv, or the wife of his father's brother, no, it was his aunt, but again, you have to say they just did Erusin, and that he never had relations with her. V'al Anida, or if he rapes a woman who's Anida, so Anida is a Chi of Kare. Now, Anida, you know, today in our society, all women who are unmarried would be nidas because they don't go to the mikvah. Mizman Chazali went to the mikvah. So if you're marrying a Nara, you know, in other words, Mizman Chazali would go to the mikvah even before marriage because they had all the dinim tum and tara. But if a man rapes a woman who's a nida, in other words, a woman's, if she doesn't go to the mikvah, she remains in the status whether, you know, she's at the time of the month or not, the nida, yeshlam kanas, they all have a kanas, afo pishayim behi karet, even though there's a kib karet, there's still a din of a knas, there's no mita beitin, so there's still the din in the knas. So here the Tana is already like alluding to the halacha, you know, that'll come up in the coming dapim about with Kimle with the Rabbi name. Okay, now let me come back a little bit, something I spoke about earlier. Now there's a whole piece in the Aladath about the Natina. I want to talk a little bit about this. So with Natina, we said with the Givonim. So Rashi explains forbidden for Israel to marry Natina due to David Melch's decree. So I skipped some of it, but Yoshua discovered the deception. He made them woodcutters and water carriers, and then David Melch extended Yoshua's decree for all generations. So we did this. We spoke about that. Now Rashi explains it's forbidden for Israel to marry Natina due to David Melch's decree, as explained above. Rashi thus indicates that even though Natinim descended from a Canaanite nation, the prohibition of marrying them is only midrabanan, based on Yoshua's and David's decree. Even though the Torah states with regard to the Canaanim, lo titchatein bam, do not marry them, evidently, according to Rashi, the Easter lo titchatein bam only applies to Gentile members of the Canaanite nations, not those who convert to Judaism. In other words, Rashi says, that the problem is the David Gazar Aliyam. That's the problem with it. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, noting that the Gemara Yevamot on Ayin Vav concludes that the Easter lo titchatein bam applies even the converts from the Canaanite nations. So if one of the Shiva Amim converts to Judaism, according to the Bali Tosfot, it's that person is still subject to law of lo titchatein bam. He says, thus he asserts, Tosfos does, that it is biblically forbidden for Israelim to marry Natinim, even if they convert to Judaism. Tosfos explains that the point of Yoshua and David's decree was that the Natinim would serve as slaves, but marriage for them was forbidden in any case. So in other words, Tosfos understands what the Gezerah was with respect to Natina. So the way the Bali Tosfot would understand it, you can never marry them because you're always subject to Chatein Bam, no matter how many generations go down. But the Xera was that they should be like type of servitude. The Ramban has another opinion on this matter. He maintains that although the Gemara Yevamot concludes that the Easter of Lotit Chatein Bam applies even to converts of the Canaanite nations, it only applies to the first generation converts. So the Ramban says if they convert, the first generation that converts will be subject to the law of Doraisa. However, unlike the psul of Imams or Moabi, it is not transmitted to future generations. Thus, the point of Yoshua's and David's decree was to extend the disqualification for marriage to future generations. So let's go slowly with this. So again, so the way we understood Rashi, we understood Rashi saying it's in Rabbanan, the prohibition, and that was enacted by Yoshua and David HaMelech, and extended by David HaMelech. And then the Bali Tosfos would say, no, the Eastern marry them, even if they convert to Judaism, is the Raisa, the Chatein Bam. And the Gzeru was they should be Abadim. And then Ramban says that on a Raisa level, it's the first generation. But afterwards, it's the Rabbanan, and that's what David and Yoshua and David did. Now, the play Yoshua notes that Rashi elsewhere seems to contradict his position here. Rashi in the Mishnah Makot on Daf Zayin says it's forbidden for Yisrael to marry a Netina because they are from a Canaanite nation, regarding whom Torah says not to chaten ba'am. So we have the play Yoshua says this is a stira in Rashi. Rashi in Makot says it's not to chaten ba'am if you're a Babylon Netina. Rashi here says it's exerid rabbanim. The words of Rashi indicate, contrary to what he writes here, that Eastern Marinatinim is biblically rooted in the Pasuk, what's Chatein Bam, is not merely because of Rabbinic decree enacted by David HaMelech. The Pnei Yoshua suggests two answers. A, he suggests Rashi agrees with Ramban's position cited above. He says, in Makot and Sanhedrin, Rashi is referring to a first-generation convert when he says it's biblically forbidden. In other words, Rashi could agree with Ramban. Yeah, if the Natin converts, that first generation, that's an Easter Deraisa. In our mission, when Rashi says Drabanan, there's later generations. That's a nice answer. That's Pnei Yeshua. Then, alternatively, Pnei Yeshua, based on a Gemara about Zara Lamed Bav, suggests the Easter of Lotzit Chatein Bam only applies to one who cohabits with a member of a Canaanite nation, Derech Chatna, within the context of marriage. He performs Kiddushin prior to Biyam. But not if Biyam is performed Derech Zanud. In Makot and Sanhedrin, Rashi writes, so in other words, in Achinami, there is a din of Lotzit Chatein Bam within the Tinim. But in order to transgress that lav, I have to enter into Kiddushin with her. He says, in Makom Sanhedrin, Rashi writes that Bia within a Tinim is forbidden within a Tinim in a Torah, referring to Bia Derechatna. He's the our Mishnah, which is only Sumafanta, where he's raping or seducing her, but it's outside marriage, she obviously says Derechnos, not Derechatna. Therefore, Rashi was forced to cite David HaMelech's decree, Ren Lotit Chateng Bam. Okay. I think we covered some of the Rashi Prakim. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
I have a question.
Wait. I have Sal, and I'll get to you. What's up? Okay. A non-Jewish one? A what? No, right.
You don't have to
pay. No.
Why?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I have to look into it. In other words, like a lot of demons of the Ezekiel don't apply when you enter a non-Jew. So I don't know, it's not good. You don't go to heaven with this, but I have to look and see what the din is. Okay, so Sally asked what the din is if you rape a non-Jewish woman. I'm not sure. Okay. Now who has a question outside the world?
David. Hi, it's David. So if he rapes a girl, but he doesn't know she's Nida, she turns out to be Nida. So it's a Meshogeg.
Wait. He doesn't know, and it turns out she's a Nida, right?
Yeah. So now it's Meshogeg. Would you, for the Mani Yom that says Kim Lay the Rabbin Bnei for a car race, would you say?
Right. I think he would still say Kim Lay with Rabbin Bnei. Easter would be an Easter car race. I think even though he's not per se.
So
like
she gets
like,
no money again.
It's like the chiv mita. In other words, even though I may not be able to execute the person, I understand. I don't think it makes a difference, but it'll come out in the coming days. I'm sure you'll see it in the next 5 days. Come back to me in 5 days, David, and tell me what you found. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says Pesach David, I should say. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara understands, like the Mishnah said, all these psulot case, they get the kanas. So you mean the ksherot, like it doesn't get it? So haki kamor, kanas, hakuti. What the Mishnah means is that with the psulot, they do have a kanas, even though there's no mitzvah for him to marry the psulot. But notwithstanding that, they get a kanas, and the ksherot certainly get a kanas. All right. Now, Nara in Tanalo. So the implication of our Mishnah is Elu Na'aro. The Nara is a term of art between 12 and 12 and a half. And so the Nara gets the Knas. And I'm only talking about Knas because there are other elements of damage that we spoke about in the Mishnah later on. It says Nara in Tanalo. The implication is that she's a Katana, which would be from, you know, 0 to 12. She doesn't get Knas. And again, Bia is only called Bia from 3 years in a day and then to 12. So presumably, like, but in other words, lower than 12, she doesn't get it. So Mantana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah who holds that way? I'm Rabbi Yudama Rav, Rabbi Meir here. So Rav says, the Tana of our Mishnah has to be Rabbi Meir. The Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Ketana, Nibat Yom Echad, Yeshtadi Shvei Sa'arot, Yeshla Mecher, Ve'in L'Knas. If you have a Ketana from day one till she shows signs of puberty, which we're going to say is age 12, he says, so Yeshla Mecher means she's subject to sale by the father. The father can sell her as an Amma Ivriya. In other words, he can sell her when she's a week old, sell her when she's a year old, sell her when she's 10 years old. And then when she brings Timanim, then she goes free. But she doesn't get Kenas, according to this Tana, which is going to be Remeir. So that if she's raped, she doesn't get a Kenas. But once she's maybe Shtei Sa'arot, which would say when she's a Nara, he says, until she gets Bo'ot Geret, like 12 months later, Yeshla Kenas, then she gets Kenas if she's raped, but the father can't sell her during that period of time. Meaning, the father only has the right to sell the daughter, according to this Tana, until age 12. And then at age 12, she's Yotzei B'Simanim. So her right to sell goes out the door. And then at that point, when he can no longer sell her, then she's subject to the Kenas, should she be raped. In other words, during that 6 month period of time, Dibri Rav Meir. So see, Shayyabri Meir Omer, because Meir would say, if it's one, it's not the other. So if the father has right to sell her, then there's no kenas. But if there's a kenas, which would be, according to him from Nara, a mecher. That's the sheet of the Rav Meir. But Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir. They say, Kitana, Yibat Shoshim Yom Echad, Yachti Bager, Yeshla Kenas. Kitana from age 3 in a day till she's a Bogeret. So the Chachamim hold that the Kenas go, and then below age 3 years in a day, it's not called Bia. So the Chachamim hold that she's entitled to a Kenas, and will go to the father, obviously, from 3 years in a day until 12 and a half. So she gets the Kenas. He says, it's a Kenas. So the Gemara asks, Kenas in Mecher lo? You mean a Kenas? He doesn't, the Chachamim don't say anything about Mecher. So Ema, turn page, Ah, Kenas. Matter. In other words, what you should understand the Braisa is that below the age of 12, according to the Chachamim, the father has a right to sell her, and he also has a right to Kenas if she's raped, Chas v'Shalom. Now, if you look at the Rashi, the top line of Rashi, Af Kenas Makom Mecher, so Rashi says, Mishum Kenas, Nakat Bashalosh. So the fact that the Braisa mentioned age 3, that's only in terms of the Kenas. Of Al Mecher, you've got Yom Echad, Vesvish Disarot. But to sell her, you can sell her from a day old, so you can sell her as an Amma Ivriya. Okay, so the Af Kenas B'Makom Mecher. Okay, so any questions, comments, and thoughts on what I did so far? Everybody good? All right, let's go on. All right, well, the top line on Chav Tenement Days. Bahani B'nei Kenasin in Hu. So in other words, These women that we learned in the Mishnah are subject to the Kenas. We said that Lamam Zeret, Lamtinim, everybody else, they're subject to the Kenas. The Amai, Ikri Khan, Velotia, Leisha. Well, how could that be the case? In other words, if you look in the Chumash, and I have the Chumash open in front of us, so again, on page 1052 in the Art Scroll, it says in the same Pasuk, in Pasuk of Tet, Benatana Isha Shechei Gimala Vienara. He gives it to the father, Chamishim Kasef, 50 Kesef, which means 50 Shkalim, which are 200 Dinarim. And that's the way Rav Kati says, V'lo t'yele yisha t'achat sh'rina v'yuchal shalcha kul yamam. So it sounds like it goes hand in glove together. In other words, that he pays the Kenas and he has to marry her. So if he can't marry her, the Gemara assumes there's no Kenas. In other words, it should rise and fall together. So the Gemara says, "Vani b'nei kasein and ubamai ikri kan v'lo tia lisha." Actually, the pasuk says "v'lo tia." It says "v'lo tia leisha." Right? It says "v'lo tia leisha." Isha haru yilo. It has to be an appropriate woman that she should be his wife. So how is it that you're learning that there's a kenas and all these psulik pahal? So line 3. So Amar Reish Lakish nara nara hanara. So Reish Lakish says again, if you look in the Chumash. So let's look at the Pesukim, Pasuk Chavchek. If you want, you can open up Sal if you want. It's on page 1052 if you get the urge. He says, Himsa ish na'ara v'tula, that's one na'ara, v'shalu arasa, v'tfasa v'shavim av'nitza'u, v'natan ish v'shkev ima la'vi ha'na'ara chamishim kasef. Now, na'ara is spelled without a hey here, but the limud is that na'ara is mentioned like three times in a sense. First, the first time na'ara, then the second time, it doesn't even have to say Nara at all, say Lavia. And then it says Ha Nara. So there's an extra Nara and an extra Hey. So it's like three extra sort of words to learn from. So we'll see in a minute. So back in the Gemara. So Amar Eish Lakish, Nara, Nara, Hana'ara, Chad L'gufa. So one Nara I need just teach me the din. She's got to be a Nara, and then you get the Chamishin Kesef. Sure, we learned that. The Chad L'Tri Chavi Lavin. Eish Lakish says one Nara is a superfluous Nara. Teach me that even if he rapes a woman, it would be Chavi Lavin. That's a mamzer, it would be Chavi Lavin. So Mela, he's still Chayat Z'knas. And then and then another one, let's say Nida would be an example, right? He rapes a Nida, so then he's also Chayav. So that you ask how can he Chayav Knas? It's not the Loti Elisha. So from these Ribuyim, we learn that even Chayav Lavin and even Chayav Kare are Chayav in the Knas. Rapapa Amar, now Rapapa darshans from the other Psukim by the Mefate. And again, if you have the Chumash, we're in Parshat Mishpatim on page 430. So make that 428. So it says, we're looking for the word betula. So two lines to the bottom on page 428. The man seduces a betula. That's one betula. And he should marry her. And then, he should pay money like the settlement for the betula, which the Gemara is going to learn, the same amount of money that the ones is. But there it says habetulot. So the Gemara takes it that the word habetulot is totally superfluous, and so you can put an extra hey there as well. So betulot and habetulot. So we'll see in a minute. So he's darshaning again a different three things. And he said, could say Kamoar. He could say Kamoar. So Betula is totally. So let's see. So Rapapamar, Betula once, Betulot is twice, Ha Betulot is like three times. Chad Gufa, one is to teach me the din that she has to be Betula by the Mephata. Says Bechala to Yechai Vilavin, one to teach me that even if he seduces a woman, it's like a Mamzeret, and there was a Chivilavin, he's still Chayav. If he doesn't marry her, and he won't be able to marry her because she's a mamzeret, b'chala tuichavik krito. One to intuitive chavik krito. All right. Now the Gemara says, "V'rapapa ma'itam l'mark b'reish lakish." Why does Rapapa have his drach? Now I was a little bit bothered. The Gemara is going to learn that it's gzeir shav connecting the two. I was a little bit bothered by why the Gemara like takes Rapapa's limud by the. We're trying to learn the ones, and instead we have these psukim by the mafatas. So the Gemara is going to link the two and learn dinim one to the other, but the Gemara hasn't gotten to like Zerah Shaba yet, but the Gemara seems to assume that whatever I learned by Mafate would be true by the Ones. All right, so let's take a look. So the Gemara says, Rapapa, my Tamil Mark, Reish Lakish. Why does Rapapa reject Reish Lakish Limud about Nara, Nara, Hanara? So he says, Hahumi Bai Lech Labai. He says, because he needs that to darshan the way Abai learns the Sukim. The Amar Abai says, let's say he rapes the girl and she dies for whatever reason. She dies afterwards. He's patur. Why? Shneamar v'natan la aviha na'ara. The pasuk says he has to give to the father of the na'ara. So the Gemara takes it la aviha na'ara v'lo la avimeta. That the na'ara, they quoted one of them, a farshim in the art school, that the na'ara means that she's got to be in the same status when he raped her, just like she was alive, has to be alive then as well. So if she's dead when they go to Bezdin, then he's not chayav to pay the money. Reish Lakish, so he needs that limud the way Abai speaks it. So he doesn't want to, use it that way. So and the limud that we wanted to use was, the last one. Hanara is and Reish Lakish, why does Reish Lakish learn Nara, Nara, Hanara, not learn like Rapapa? Because he's going to use within those words one of the word terms to set up Xavier Shava between the exactly right. So he says to Tanya, because we learn in the Brisa, Kesef Yishkol Kamor Habetulot. That's by the Mefate that the seducer, if he doesn't marry her, we learned that in the Mishnah. So Kesef Yishkol, he'll be shokel, because I'll take it when the Torah uses the word yishkol, that means it's going to be shkalin. That's the chiddush, because it doesn't mention what unit of money by the ones. Kesef Yishpol Kimor HaBetulot, like the settlement of the Betulot. Shehezeh Kimor HaBetulot, meaning that it says Betula here, and it says Betula also, but the onus. If you look back on page 1052, right, so it says, Right, it mentions Betula. So he's setting up a Xer Shava between HaBetulot and Betula. In other words, it's like the line is set up. We're going to learn one thing from another, back and forth. So it's back from the Gemara. He says, Sheheze Kimor HaBetulot, meaning that the money, the knas that the Mefate pays should be like Kimor HaBetulot, the settlement that's paid by the Ones. Umor HaBetulot Kizeh. And the amount and the more should be like this. So what does it mean each like this? So I'll do the Rashi in a minute. He's going to say on the Mefata we know it's shkalim, but we don't know how much. And by the ones we know it's chamishim kesef, but we don't know what unit of currency. So if I take them both together, it's 50 shkalim. That's what the Gemara is going to learn. So let's take a look in the Rashi, around the 20th narrow line in Rashi. This is mibayle l'gzeir shava betula d'chtiv gami mefata. It says betula by mefata. Mibayle l'gzeir shava. We need it for gzeir shava. Betula l'gzeir shava. Makesef amur ba'ones chamishim. Just like the amount of money is said by the ones 50. Af mefata chamishim. Also by mefata 50. Uma mefata shkalim. And by the mefata we don't know how much, but we know whatever it is. Shkalim. D'chtiv yishkol. The Gemara takes it yishkol is like to count out the money, but it's using the verb yishkol. Yishkalim. Af chamishim sha'ones shkalim ka'amar. So that's back from the Gemara. So the Gemara says that Reish Lakish doesn't want to learn like Rav Papa because he needs that gzeir shava. He says that, and we did the sheyesek more b'tumor b'tor kizeh. Now Reish Lakish nami mibay leilach abaye. So the Gemara says, but doesn't Reish Lakish himself? In other words, Rav Papa didn't want to learn like Reish Lakish because Rav Papa needs it for Abaye's limud, and Abaye's limud is that if she's dead, then there's no chamishim kesef. So doesn't Reish Lakish also need that limud? In other words, Reish Lakish learned nara nara ha, nara. So doesn't he also learn like Abaye that it has to be that the girl has to be alive? For Rav Papa, nami b'vayla l'gzeir shava. And doesn't Rav Papa learn betula, ha betulot? Doesn't he also need the gzeir shava? In other words, so the Gemara says ella. So the Gemara is saying that, in other words, it's not a disagreement. They're both agreeing with each other. In other words, Reish Lakish and Rav Papa are not at loggerheads with each other. They both agree on what limud them. But the emes is they're going to learn that there are six openings with all the words to make drasho. Ela shita kroiktive. And nara, nara, hanara. So we said nara is written twice. Again, the Chumash doesn't have a hay in it, but nara the first time, and then nara hanara, this two and three, and then betula is once, and then it says kimora habetulot. He says, and it could be betulot, and it says habetulot, we don't need anything at all. So of the six, the Gemara learns out, tre legufayu. Two, I need one nara and one betula, one nara to teach me that the ones has to be a nara, and the one betula by the mefata that she's got to be betula. So so now we're left with four. Then chad l'chtabaye. Then I need one nara like Abaye taught, which is aviha na'ara, that she's got to be alive. Right. He says v'chad l'gzeir shava. And I need one betula to teach me the gzeir shava to connect it up with the mefata. Teach me the amount of money. Now, again, with the Gzeir Shava, he's going to learn, again, the Gzeir Shava is going to be muft on one. So we're used up four so far. So the Gzeir Shava is going to be muft on one side, but muft on one side is adequate. And we'll see in a minute. So again, we learned differently mudim if it's muft on one side. So Rashi says, look at Rashi, the Chad Gzeir Shava, around 20 lines above where it gets wide. It'll be muft on one side. We can learn from Gzeir Shava, it's muft on one side. There's Ochiluki in the Gemara. Now, Ayatru Le Tre. So we have two words that are superfluous. So one is going to teach me that if he rapes or seduces a girl who's a chiv lav and he can't marry her, nevertheless he's chayv leknas. If he, in other words, chayv lavin, he says that that would have to be in the case with the ones, not the mafate. In other words, the Gemara is like, once we have the Gzir Shava, we're linking everything together. Because the mafate, nobody can marry the girl who's a chiv lav. So he's definitely not going to marry her. So it'll teach me, it could be both. And it'll teach me that since he's not going to marry her, he's still chayv leknas. It could be mafate, it could be ones, fine, both of them. He says, b'chala tu yichayv kmito. And one is going to teach me that if he's ones or he's mafat chiv karet, he's certainly still chayv of the 50 shkalim. All right, let me just pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? What's up? Right, that's correct, because it's not a superfluous term. Because in other words, it says. Wait, this is by the onus, right. So it says, right? That betula we're not using. In other words, that I assume we need the gufa. In other words, teach me that she's an aron, she has to be betula. I assume that's what it's saying, but we're not using. Okay, all right.
If any other it's question? Gufna on one side, can we learn betula nara betula, or it has to be two studim to learn back and forth?
No.
It was
the issue of Mufna is just, can I ask questions against the Gzeir Shava? So according to one opinion, if it's Mufna Mitzad Achad, it's Lamedin and Meshivin, and I could learn, but I can ask questions. And according to one opinion, it's Lamedin and Ein Meshivin. In other words, like it's impregnable at that point in time. Now, so you wanted to say learn what? In other words, both of them. And so say again, what's your question again, Fern?
If we learn Betula to Nara and Nara Betula both ways, or if you need Mufne on both Stadim to learn both ways.
Again, there's different Chitot in the Gemara, but this, the way Rashi's saying it, our Gemara is learning, if it's Mufne, it was, once it's Zera Shabbat, it's learned both ways. Mufne is only, you know, is it subject to attack?
A piracha?
Can I ask a piracha against it? But according to one opinion, if it's mufna, I can't ask a piracha against it. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. All right, now we're around 20 lines from the bottom on Chavtan or days. Now, we said in our Mishnah and with Limudim that we did that there is a kenas with the psulei kahal, notwithstanding the fact that he can't marry her, either by the ones or the mafate, it still will be a kenas. That's what we learned. So the Gemara learns, lapukim mihaitana, that's in contradistinction to the following Tana, who holds, you can't marry her, there's no kenas. He says, the Tanya, we learn in the Brisa, v'lo tia li'isha, so the Pasuk says he has to marry her. That's the Pasuk. So he says, shimon atim li'omer, isha sheish b'habaya. It has to be, in other words, there's only, the way Shimon and Tim is learning, the kenas only applies if there's an isha, sheyesh ba havaya. Havaya is a code word, means marriage could take place. It says, you know, biyatsame tabal kava haita li isha cher. In other words, haita means, havaya means marriage. Rabbi Shimon Manasseh omer, isha haru'i l'kaima. Shimon Manasseh says that there's a kenas, but it has to be a woman who's worthy to keep as a wife. And we'll clarify what the difference is between those two opinions. So my binai, what's the nafkamina between the opinion of Shimon HaTimni and Rishon Manasseh? So Amrav Zera Mamzer Natina Ika Binai. The nafkamina would be, let's say he rapes a Mamzeret or rapes a Natina. So according to the Tanavar Mishnah, Vadai, he's Chayav Lekanas, without a doubt. But a Mamzeret and a Natina, Kiddushin would be tofes. In other words, there would be a lav involved, according to some Rishonim with a Natina, or at least the Zerid Rabbanan, according to the way Rashi was learning. But it would be a lav involved with that, or an Easter involved. So if I say the litmus test is Isha Sheish Bahavaya, so then you would be chayev the Kanas, because if Luyatsura, he would be Makadishur, it would be effective. Not that he should do that, But since if he would, it would be an effective kiddushin, so the first Tana would hold that there would be knas in that case. But he says, but on the other hand, Rav Shimon ben Menasya holds, Isha Re'uya L'Kaima, it has to be, in order to have a knas, it has to be a woman that's appropriate for him to stay with, to be married to, and those, by definition, are not appropriate to be stay with. So according to Rav Shimon ben Menasya, if you rape a mamzeret or netina, there's no knas. So that's different than the Tana of our Mishnah, right? And then in addition to which, I left something out. Again, the Tana of our Mishnah holds that even if it's a chiv kare, you're chayv a knas, the Tana of our Mishnah. So both of them, both of these Tanaim agree that if it's a chiv kare, that you're not chayv a knas. Because there's kedushin are not tofes, and it's not ruil kaima. So they both agree that a chiv kare not. And then they disagree if it's chiv lav that they disagree on. So, but those are other opinions. Now, let's speak of Benayu. Now, the Gemara explains, Lamadamar Yesh Bahavaya. So, according to the opinion, who says the litmus test is, are the Kiddushin, you know, Tofsin? So he says, Hani Nami Yesh Bahavaya. So, if it's a Mamzerin and Atina, so it is. He says, Lamadamar Ruya Lakaima. According to the opinion, that's Rishim Menasya, who says it has to be Ruya Lakaima, Ayin Ruya Lakaima. Okay, so far, so good. Any questions, comments, or thoughts of what we did so far?
When they say ha'ena, are they talking about the mamzeret, the netina, and the kuti?
Wait. Say again. When they say what?
Ena ru'uya l'kaima. Are they talking about?
Kuti would also be. In other words, anyone you're not allowed to marry is ena ru'uya l'kaima. That's without a doubt.
Okay, why does the art scroll only say, I don't usually follow with it, mamzeret or netina, and not a kuti in the art scroll?
Because he only mentioned mamzeret and netina. You're mentioning the kuti.
But it would be the kuti also.
The Mishnah mentioned kuti, but they in the Braisa, they didn't mention the kuti. They only mentioned, they gave an example, mamzeret and netina. All right, now I'm going back in the Gemara. Okay, now the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva the Amar, and this we had in Yabamo, it'll be a nice refresher. For the Vamot, he says, "Would it be Kiva to Amar in Kedushin Tofsin Mechayv Yelavin My Benayu?" Now, according to the Tana, Rabbi Akiva, remember he held that Kedushin were not Tofes Mechayv Yelavin, but Rabbi Akiva held that there were three opinions. What Rabbi Akiva held, one opinion held that Rabbi Akiva said that it's Mechayv Lav, it's Mamzer, according to the Tana, Rabbi Akiva. Now Rashi points out that Shimon HaTimni we know disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Because Rav Shimon HaTimni is Mechulak in the Mishnah over there. He says, but it means like this. According to Rav Shimon Menasya, he says, Isha Ru the Kaima, how does Rav Shimon Menasya understand the difference between Isha Sheish Ba Havaya and Isha Haruya the Kaima? In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, neither, in other words, Olav is not Ruya for Havaya. And it's not Ruya L'Kaima. So it's the same thing. So there's no difference between the two opinions. So how will he slice up the difference? So Iga Beinayu Amanal L'Kohen Gadol. So now he'll say the nafkamina between the two shitod would be if it's an almana, if a Kohen Gadol would rape an almana is what it means, or seduce an almana. To Rabbi Simai, the Tanya Rabbi Simai Omer, when a closer Rabbi Kiva Mamzerin, Rabbi Simai says, Rabbi Kiva makes everyone mamzer if it's a forbidden relationship, except chutzmi almana kohen gadol, except for almana with a kohen gadol. In other words, if he's a kohen gadol, so he's subject to a lav of marrying an almana. So normally, Rabbi Kiva holds if you violate the lav, the offspring are mamzerim, and the same thing would be true by a kohen hadyot with a grusha. He says here, sharei amra Torah lo yikach v'lo yichalel. The Torah says, the Torah provides what the penalty is if the kohen gadol marries the almana. He says, lo yikach, amanagusha kalazane lo yikach. He says, but lo yichalel zarob yamav. He shouldn't profane his progeny. He profanes them, meaning they have a din of a chalal, so they don't have a din in kuruna, but not mamzerus. So he'll say that's the nafkamina between whether I learn that it's isha, that's ishba havaya, or isha ruya l'kayma. So meaning that, that if I say it's Sheish Bahavaya, so the Almana with the Kohen Gadol or the Grusha with the Kohen Hadyot have Havaya. It was even according to Rabbi Akiva. But he's right. But it's not Ruhi L'Kaima, either one of them. Now, Rabbi Sheva, the Amar, Now, according to the Rabbi Sheva, he said, let's like scream on Rabbi Akiva. There's a different version of what Rabbi Akiva holds. He holds that Rabbi Akiva says, anyone that you're subject, any love, he says, the blood is a mamzer, even an amana of the Kohen Gadol. So in other words, according to Rabbi Sheva, this exception doesn't apply. All of them, in other words, any love, it's going to be a mamzer. So this is my benayu. So then what would be the nafkamina, whether I say Isha Shesh Bahavaya or Isha Rula Kaima? Right. Or according to Rabbi Manasseh, who could go like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara said, if he goes like Rabbi Akiva, it's my benayu. So Ika benayu, nafkamina will be, and this will get you tomorrow's daf, Ika benayu chaybe esse mitzvi ba'adomi. Let's say he rapes, a woman who was a mitzvi or a domi and converted to Judaism. So the Torah says this is an essay on the second line of Rashi. Dor shlishi avolehem, dor shlishi can enter the kahal. In other words, if the mitzvi converts or an adomi converts, that's fine, but they can't intermarry with other Jews. But the dor shlishi, the third generation, could intermarry. So let's say it's the first or the second generation of an adomi or a mitzvi. So that's not a lav, that's an Easter essay. In other words, the Torah doesn't say they can't marry in. It says essay, dor shlishi yavolahem, the dor shlishi. But from the fact that this is an essay, I'll learn how to love. It's an Easter essay. So he says that'll be the nafkamina between the two. So if I say if I say isha shish bahabaya, so even Rabbi Akiva will learn that isha there's habaya there. But if I say it's ruwi lekaima, so that's not ruwi lekaima. Okay, let me just do a little bit of story and then.
Can I ask a question?
Let's hear a question.
Thank you. When Rabbi Akiva makes the exception for the Kohen Gadol and the Almanah, is that for a couple that were married already and then he's appointed?
No. He means he's a Kohen Gadol. If she's grandfathered, no, that doesn't mean. He means he's a Kohen Gadol and now he marries an Almanah. He violates halakha and he marries an Almanah.
Not a Mamzer.
Yeah, according to one version of Rabbi Akiva, not a mamzer. According to Rabbi Sheva, Rabbi Akiva holds it, that would be mamzer as well.
But it's not the grandfather case. Okay, thanks.
All right? Okay. All right, let's do story and that'll be it. Let's see. All right, you see, one piece about the age for a bar mitzvah, which doesn't do so much, but you know what? There was a story yesterday I liked, but the story got a little flipped over at the end. Let me take a look if I see it there. Wait, pop that. Yeah. Okay, I'll say the story. This is from the Al Hadaf from yesterday's Gemara. It says, on today's daf, we find, like, Ma behemtim shel tzaddikim et HaKadosh Baruch Hu vita kol yadam tzaddikim asman lo kol shekein. We learn from the Gemara, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the animals of tzaddikim, certainly prevents the tzaddikim from doing an aveira. So he says, there were two Jewish merchants from Hamburg were once captured by pirates and sold as slaves. They were purchased by the same cruel master who decided one day to punish them for their perceived indolence by putting one of them to death. The condemned captive was tied to a log, and the master stalked off with the threat that he would be dead by nightfall. Just before the two merchants were separated, the condemned man begged his friend to ensure that he would at least receive a proper burial. So Reuven and Shimon were the merchants taken captive, and Reuben is tied to the log, and Reuben asks Shimon, we'll see that I get a Kuras Yisrael. Toward evening, an Arab trader passed by with another slave and noticed the man bound to the log. Thinking that the prisoner would suit his needs better than his own slave, the Arab trader decides to exchange him. So the Arab trader takes his slave, ties him to the log, and takes the Jewish merchant. He says that night, the original master returned and failed to notice that his prisoner had been replaced. He says the build of the Jewish merchant and the Arab slave were similar enough, and the cruel master killed the poor slave before he even thought to protest. Later in the depth of the night, the other Jewish merchant fulfilled his friend's last request and buried the body, thinking it was his fellow Jew. So they think that the merchant is dead and buried, and he's really alive. Years later, this merchant manages to escape, in other words, Shimon manages to escape, and he immediately returned to Hamburg. He submitted his testimony to the rabbi of the city, Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi Horowitz Zatzal, that the man who had accompanied him on his journey years ago was without a doubt dead. based on this testimony, the rab permitted the man's aguna to remarry. Now, so again, the rab is permitting his wife to remarry, even though he's really alive, unbeknownst to anybody. At the very same time, the one who had been in the service of the Arab was released. When he arrived in Altona on his way to Hamburg, he discovered that his wife was slated to be married to a different man that very day. There was nothing he could do to prevent this, since the distance was too great to cover before the marriage. Incredibly, the Rav of Hamburg was in Altona at the time. That was the Rav who had been knocked as a Guna case, he's in Altona, and the missing man found him and told him his tale. The Rav was so devastated that he threw himself on the ground and pleaded with Hashem to have pity and spare him from, and that's the story's cut off at this point. But I take it at the end of the day that the marriage didn't take place. I don't know. Okay, that's going to be it today. So anyway, next week will be earlier. I'll let you know what the story is.
Shabbos.